The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Oh, hi. Welcome to Nazareth. My name's Joseph. If you've read the Gospels, you've heard of me. And if you've read them, you've probably noticed that I'm not a man who speaks a whole lot. In fact, I don't think the writers said I said anything. But I want to tell you, I have a lot to say. I live in Nazareth, and most of my family live in Bethlehem. And in Nazareth, I'm known as a carpenter. Now, if you've ever been to Nazareth, or if you've seen Nazareth, you'll realize that there's not a whole lot of trees around. So I was more than a carpenter. Now, granted, I was really good with a hammer and with nails. If I do say so myself. But I was more of a general contractor. I would make furniture, and I would try to sell it to the neighboring towns. Sometimes people would come to me and they needed their wooden tools fixed. And when we did build a house, you know, the beams across the top were made of wood. And so I'd be called in. And a lot of times, though, we worked with stone. My father's name was Jacob, and he was a carpenter. So he passed on to me his trade. And I have this dream. I had this dream that I would pass this on to my son. Some people would say I'm a dreamer. In fact, my parents often, what they would do is they would tell me about Joseph in the Old Testament and say, see, he was a dreamer, just like you. One of my biggest dreams was to be as righteous as I could be. I loved God so much. I wanted to be straight. I didn't want any curves in my faith. I wanted to live out my life in such a way that I honored God. I'm a little embarrassed by this, but in fact, Matthew calls me a righteous man. I was what you would call a tzaddik. And tzaddik basically means in Hebrew, it means that I was one who tried to follow the Torah as closely, the law of Moses, as best that I can. I was almost a hero. I mean, people would look at me and they'd look at me and say, oh, there's Joseph. He lives a righteous life. And little boys would want to be like me. I wanted nothing more than to honor God. But I had a problem. My biggest concern was the blood that was flowing through my veins. You see, if you look at my ancestry, you will see that my ancestors go back to King David. I have royal blood in me. But like many of you, we all have a few nuts hanging from our family trees. And I had one. And his name was Jehoiakim. He was a king, but he was a very evil man. One day, a scroll was brought to him that Jeremiah had written out, and it was read to him, and he was so upset because it was condemning him for how he was and what he was doing wrong, that he took the scroll and he burned it. He burned the word of God. What he did was so evil that God said he will have no one to sit on the throne. I did not want to be like Jehoiakim. And I was afraid, because of the blood that was in me, that I would. And I had other dreams. I had the dream, as I said, of handing off my trade of being a carpenter to my son. Now, in order to do that, of course, I had to be married, and I wasn't. But I did have a dream about a young maiden named Mary. Oh, Mary. She was amazing. Her family and my family had known each other for a long time, and so my parents went to her parents and arranged for us to be married. I know that sounds weird, but it works. Trust me. They arranged for us to marry, and what happened is when her parents agreed, we entered a time of what's called a time of betrothal, and that time would last for a whole year. So what we did, we got together and we brought two witnesses with us. The families got together with two additional witnesses, and they signed the contract, and I made a small gift that I gave to Mary, and Mary's father made a down payment on her dowry, and at that point we were considered husband and wife. But we didn't live together for a whole year. This was a time of testing. A time of testing how committed we were to our relationship. Whether or not we could actually live the way we're supposed to. I love Mary because Mary loved the Lord. I could not imagine being with somebody who does not love God as much as I do. So while she lived with her parents and I lived with mine, I would work on building our house, our home, our future home. And every once in a while, I'd make little pieces of art and I would take it to Mary and give them to her. Or I'd make some furniture for our new home and I'd take them and give them to her. She'd keep them until the house was finished. It was a labor of love for the love of my life. Now, right after we had gotten engaged, Mary came to me and she said she needed to go and she needed to help take care of her cousin Elizabeth. You may not know Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, but they are much older. Well past the years that normally people would have children. But Mary told me this weird story about how an angel had appeared to Zechariah and had told him that Elizabeth would have a child, and they would call him John. I thought it was a little odd. I didn't believe it. Those things don't happen anymore. So Mary left, and while Mary was gone, I continued to make furniture, and I continued to build our house. I had everything. I had a great family. I had a future spouse who was beautiful on the inside and the outside. I had a hope of my future. I had a great business going. So I continued to work. And then one day Mary came back. I was so excited. I don't know if any of you have been separated from someone you love and they come back and you're just like, oh, I just can't wait. I was so excited to see her. And when I went to see her, the first thing she says to me is, we need to talk. Now guys, I don't know if the one you love has ever told you, we need to talk. My stomach knotted up, and I knew that whatever Mary had to tell me was going to change our lives. Well, Mary didn't beat around the bush. First thing she says is, I'm pregnant. Those two words crushed me. First of all, I knew I wasn't the father. I mean, I thought I knew her. I thought we had plans. I thought we had the same dreams. And here she comes and tells me that she's pregnant. I felt like a whole house had fallen on my heart. I cried more that day than I've ever cried in my whole life. Because I had a problem. What was I going to do? If everybody was going to think it was mine. We lived in Nazareth. There are lots of gossipers in Nazareth. You guys are from small towns, you know. Now, Mary told me some weird story about how the Holy Spirit had, it was the cause of her being pregnant, and an angel had come to her and told her this. Now, but I couldn't believe that. Come on. A virgin getting pregnant and giving birth? I know. It says in Isaiah, a virgin will conceive and will give birth and they'll call his name Emmanuel. But that doesn't happen. That could not have been talking about Mary. It couldn't happen in Nazareth, little old Nazareth. I had a problem. What was I going to do? See, I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to do what the scripture said I was supposed to do. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says that she was to be divorced. In fact, my friends kept telling me, oh, you've got to divorce her and you've got to publicly humiliate her. In fact, the scripture says we are to take her to the city gates and stone her. But I loved Mary. I still loved Mary. I couldn't do that to her. But what was I to do? I didn't want to be like Jehoiakim and ignore the scriptures, but I didn't want to punish Mary. I didn't want to publicly humiliate her. I still loved her. So what I decided to do was I decided that I would quietly get two witnesses and we would go and I would divorce her in private. That would help me save face and would not give her any additional shame. So I decided that's what I'm going to do. That's what I had to do. I put my plan in place. I had got the witnesses. And then that night, I am asleep and I had a dream. I told you I was a dreamer. An angel of the Lord came to me and told me, Joseph, son of David. Whew, I was glad he didn't say son of Jehoiakim. He says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son and you will call his name Jesus. In my culture, if I give a child a name, that means he's mine, that I'm adopting him as my son. Wow, Mary was right. She wasn't lying to me. She had been visited by the angel Gabriel. See, Jesus, the name Jesus means he will save his people. And scripture says that his name was Emmanuel, which is God with us. So what did I do? What could I do? I had to do what the angel told me because God had told me. And that had solved my problem because I had to obey God's word, which came directly from an angel. And yet I was still going to be able to marry the woman that I truly, truly loved. So I went to Mary immediately. It was not near a year. I mean, we hadn't finished our betrothal, but I went to Mary and I said, I believe you. I had a dream. I told her everything that had happened. And I took her and we went and got married. We did it immediately. And I sealed our marriage by taking her to our home. That was not quite finished. But that's okay. I would love to say that we lived happily ever after, but as soon as I had done that, the gossip started. The people began to shun us. We were never invited over anybody's house. Nobody ever came and visited us. Everybody assumed that we had been together intimately. But I want to tell you that when Mary and I got married and we moved in together after getting married, that I did not become intimate with her until Jesus was born. So people started saying things about us. But you know, the worst thing was they started saying evil things about Mary. But I took her shame as my own because I loved her. And I started remembering in the book of about Hosea. Hosea was a prophet who was told to take a wife who had a really, really bad reputation. No matter, she was told no matter what he did, what she did to him, he was supposed to love her. And he had a tenacious love for her. And I knew that that love that she had for Gomer was actually the same kind of love that God has for me. So I had to love Mary the same way. So, we started living our lives, but unfortunately, nobody would hire me. It was hard. Until one day, I got a notice. And the whole town got a notice that we would have to go and be counted for a census. And I thought, thank goodness. Because now we can get away from this town of gossipers. Now, of course, I was from Bethlehem, so we would have to travel to Bethlehem, and Mary was well along in pregnancy, and it was quite a trip because it would take 10 days to get there. 10 days of walking, because I want you to understand, we did not have a donkey. We were dirt poor. I know Hollywood shows us riding on a donkey. We had no donkey. And the way you can know that is the fact that, you know, if you know the story, when we presented Jesus at the temple, what did we use for an offering? What did we use for a sacrifice? Turtle doves. They were not expensive. They were the cheapest thing you could do. We did not have money. So we walked, except on the Sabbath when we rested. And Mary being pregnant, it was difficult. We finally get to Bethlehem. And I assumed that my family would take me in, would take us all in. But they didn't. Apparently, rumors spread quick. So here I am with a pregnant wife about to give birth, and we're in a town where nobody really knows us except for the family, and the family's turned their back on us. And so I'm running from door to door, knocking on the door. Do you have any room? My wife is pregnant. No. And they slam the door in my face. And I go to the next one, and I'm running like crazy. And finally, a kind gentleman says, you can use my barn. Now, I have seen some of your barns around here. They're nice. Not what we were going to get. We were getting a cave with a bunch of smelly animals and hay on the floor. But it was protection from the elements. Not exactly where I had planned for God to be born was, I didn't expect it to be in a stable, I expected it to be in our house. So we quickly went into the stable and Mary is standing there and I'm trying to arrange things around and all of a sudden her water breaks. For those of you who don't know what that means, Jake, no, you probably do know what that means. It was time. And me being the normal father and the first time father, what did I do? I jumped up and I started running around the stable. I am running around saying, my baby's having a wife. My baby's having a wife. Mary looked at me and said, Joseph, sit down. It's going to be okay. So I did. And it happened so quick. All of a sudden, there he was. So we cleaned him up, and I know the song says he wasn't making a noise, he was crying. We swaddled him up in some cloth that we had. But I want to tell you, when Mary gave me Jesus, I felt like I was holding heaven. I felt like not only my life, but the world will never be the same again. So I took him and I laid him in a feeding trough that we had cleaned out. And as I was standing there just looking at him, thinking, oh boy, this is God, and I have to take care of him. I heard a commotion outside. So I grabbed my hammer because I had to protect my family. I'm standing there ready to hit whoever comes through the doorway. And standing there were shepherds. Shepherds. And they looked like they had just seen something amazing because they were full of joy and they walked in and they looked at us and then they looked down at the feeding trough and then they acted like we weren't even there. And they knelt down and they praised God. Mary and I stood there. We had no idea what was going on. And they told us what they had seen. That angels had come and told them that Jesus could be found in Bethlehem. They got up as quickly as they came and went out, but I heard them telling everybody else, anybody they ran into, waking up the whole town and telling them what they had seen. A few days later, it was time to take Jesus to the temple. So we went, and as we were walking into the temple, a man named Simeon walks up to us. And he takes Jesus from us. And he praises God, because his eyes have seen the Savior. Apparently, God had told him that he would not take him. He would not die until he had seen the Savior. And he said that Jesus would be light to the Gentiles and salvation for his people. And as he was giving Mary Jesus, he was placing her in his arms, him in her arms, he leans into Mary and he says, "And a sword will pierce your heart." Mary and I wondered at that. What did he mean? So we decided it was time to go. And as we're walking out, a lady walks up, and we come to find out her name is Anna. And she says that she has been praising God she's praising God because all the people who were waiting for the deliverance of Jerusalem, and that Jesus was that deliverance. We left, and we decided not to go back to Nazareth. Why? Because I didn't have a business there anymore. All they were doing were gossiping about us. So we decided to stay in Bethlehem, and we did. We found a house, and I started a new business. I started doing carpentry work again. A little over a year and a half later, we are there, and all of a sudden we hear somebody at the gate, and we go out, and there's these three wise guys there. And they said they had come from the desert, across the other side of the desert, and they had come to worship the King of the Jews. And they go, "He gave us gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Amazing. That very night, I went to sleep, and guess what? I had another dream. I'm a dreamer. The angel came to me and said that King Herod was wanting to kill the child and I needed to flee to Egypt. So what did I do? I got up that very night, gathered Mary, gathered Jesus, and we went to Egypt. We stayed there for a while. And then one night again, I had another dream. I told you, I'm a dreamer. And an angel told me it was now safe to go back to Israel. That I was to take Jesus and Mary back. But I was not to go back to Bethlehem. I was to go back to Nazareth. Because Jesus was going to be known as a Nazarene. So we went back and we started our life. We raised Jesus. I taught him my trade. My dream had come true. We had had other children and I taught them everything I could. But we lived in Nazareth and Jesus grew. What is interesting is as I think back on it now, I look at Jesus and I know that the day came when he actually was rejected by the town too, just like we were. And one day, a Roman soldier took the hands of a carpenter whose hands were used to feeling wood and nails, and he nailed a nail through his arms, through his hands, and through his feet. Jesus did everything his Father told him to do. Without question. Totally sacrificing everything for the Father. Before I leave, I want to share a few things that I have learned from my life in raising Jesus and seeing his life. First of all, you must understand that this story tells you that I am not Jesus' father. In fact, if you look at the genealogies, if you look at the family tree of Mary, she is also of the line of David. But she came from through Nathan. So she was not under the curse of Jehoiakim. God kept his promise to David. Also, you need to understand that sometimes God is going to ask you to do some things you think you can't do. But you know what? He'll never ask you to do something that he can't do through you. Sometimes he'll smash your dreams just to give you better ones. God will always do what he says he'll do. One thing that was hard for me to learn was the fact that no matter how holy I try to be, I can never measure up to God. It's never enough. Now, I need to be holy. Not because of God's love, not to get God's love, but because of God's love. But it's never enough. I mean, why would you not give him everything because of what he gave to you? You and I need Emmanuel. God with us. And you and I need Jesus, a Savior. We need them both. And it was because of the cross that you and I can have them both. In the book of John, Jesus says, "For those who accept the word of God and believe in his name, he will give you the right to be called children of God." I adopted Jesus, and God adopted you, if you believe. But you must believe in Christ. Well, that's my story. Boy, I didn't say much in the scriptures, but I said a lot tonight, didn't I? Trust God with everything you have. Because see, this is what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the fact that God came down as a baby to be with us, to live like us, and to die for us. Accept him. Accept his word. Believe him. and you will be a child of God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.